This is the MVP from the national champion UNLV running Rebels, Anderson Hunt. And when I want to catch up on some real NBA information, I listen to the Full Court Press with R.Dot and Fresh.
Thank you for tuning in to the LeavingInTheRing.com network. You're entering the Full Court Press with R.Dot and Fresh, sponsored by SportsandGiggles.com and Made Athletics. What up, Fresh? How you doing?
What up, R.Dot? Just another day in paradise, man. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing excellent. We got a very special show for you guys lined up. What's on the agenda today?
We're going to start off talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors in OKC, where they gave the game away.
Final score was 121-118, winning the overtime. Wow, OKC.
Now, R.Dot, when Steph Curry went down in the first half with that ankle injury, what was you thinking? You think he was going to come back that game? I thought he was done.
Just on his prior history, I thought he was done, too. I didn't think he was going to come back. You know, he had those ankle injuries early in his career, so.
Steph did his version of the Willis Reed. He came back and balled. He hit 12 threes, and the last one being the game winner, a 35-footer. Unbelievable. In rhythm.
Steph Curry is unbelievable.
You got to check Steph Curry coming out of the dressing room.
12 for 16 on threes. 12 for 16, man. I can't believe 46 points. 46 points,
Steph
man.
Steph Curry's last three games, man. He's 28 for 40 from three-point range.
You know what? I got to give Draymond Green and Klay Thompson a lot of props in that game, too, because whenever they went down four, Klay Thompson in the overtime period would hit a three-pointer then bring him back down to one.
Absolutely. Draymond Green down one. Didn't make a field goal, but listen to this stat line. 14 rebounds, 14 assists, six steals, and four blocks.
We're talking about your power forward, ladies
and
gentlemen.
At 6'7", with high heels on. Be more like 6'4", 6'5", be honest with you, to me.
Fresh, 14 dimes from your power forward.
Man, Draymond plays with a chip on his shoulder, R.Dot. He just, you know, he's a second-round pick. And he just got maxed out, and he still plays with that chip on his shoulder, man. He's real. He played with an edge. I love it.
Man, these guys evolved, man. These guys are evolving the positions, you know, in the NBA.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did the Golden State Warriors win that game, or did the Oklahoma City Thunder lose that game? Because Kevin Durant made some major blunders down the end at the end of the game in the last 14 seconds. First of all, he missed two free throws down the stretch. He's hit a big shot to put him up four with 14 seconds to go. But he gets trapped in the corner, no timeout, throws the ball away, and then he commits the foul on Iguodala to put him on the line to hit two clutch free throws to send it to overtime. And then he commits a foul a minute to overtime to foul out. Kevin Durant, you got to be better. You got to do better than that. You got to close, man.
I think Golden State just took that game, man. They took that game. There was no way I thought Golden State was going to win the game.
Not with 14 seconds to go and they're down four.
No, sir. They took the game and they did everything they were supposed to do to take a game, and they looked like champions. If you think about it, Kevin Durant, on your, you know, you got five fouls. You got to be real careful. You shouldn't even be nowhere near the ball. You know what I mean? You're too of an important offensive player to foul out in this situation.
Not in the first minute of overtime. You can't do it.
Here's a question about that game. Jeff Van Gundy, he has said this. Do you think players should receive an extra foul if the game goes into an overtime period?
If they got an extra foul, I would give the team three shots to make two and the ball out of bounds.
So wait.
Oh, ABA rules used to be three to make two after so many
fouls. So you would go back to that if that was the case?
Once you pick up your 6-5, your 7-5 would be three to make two plus the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good play. I mean, that'll just, you know, spice it up a little bit.
Same thing with the hacker Dwight, the hacker DeAndre. Three to make two when they foul them. And then down the stretch, it's the same thing. The rules don't change.
I like that. I like that rule. You never know. They might incorporate that. I mean, because that's a good idea. I mean, you can get away with that and still have a nice flow of the game, you know? Speaking of the game, NBA retired players been commenting on Steph Curry's new play and how, you know, how he's transformed the game, per se. You know, guys like the Big O, guys like Steve Nash, some of them been criticism, but I don't know if there's been criticism on Steph Curry himself, maybe on the way the game is played today. But Steve Nash was giving Steph Curry praise because I think Steve Nash said Steph Curry took Steve Nash's game and just elevated it into this like Megatron.
It's unreal, man, Steph Curry's game. There's nothing they could have did to Steph but beat him up. And it's not like he's not a tough kid. He grew up in the 80s with his dad, so he watched the whole NBA. He would adjust his game. And he's too quick off the dribble with the ball to pick him up for a court press and, you know, all this stuff people saying you can do to control Steph. You just can't, man. You just can't. You can't. Cannot. You just hope he miss. And he's not doing too much missing these days.
I agree with you 100% fresh on this one. Curry basically is like this to me. Curry is the evolution, you know, quote unquote, of the new 3-point shooter. He's the new version of the 3-point
shooter 2.0, man. He's like he said, he's Steve Nash 2.0. No pun intended, he's Steve Nash on steroids.
He grabbed the Matrix and opened it and turned into this Steve Nash 2.0, man. He has a shot like Steve Nash and Mark Price. He got the release of Ray Allen. You know, he runs around screens like Rip or Reggie. You know, he has a handle to me like Ross Strickland or Jamal Tinsley.
I think he got handle like Curly Neal of the Globetrotters damn near.
He got handles like him too. Yep. He's the product of evolution, man.
We've never seen nobody with the whole package like Curry got. Nope. He can score.
Not at all.
He can score and put in buckets at a clip hadn't been seen since Jordan, since Kobe. In the MVP year, I think Curry averaged like 35 a game, went for 50 like 3 or 4 games in a row.
Listen to these stats for him, Curry, this year. 30 points per game, 6 assists a game. Well, I'm sorry, 6.6 a game, so almost 7 assists a game. 5 rebounds a game, and 2.1 steals a game. That's Jordan numbers to me. How is that not Jordan
numbers? 6'3 point guard.
How is that not Jordan?
Well, look numbers? At his field goal percentage. He's about to be the first player in history to do 50-50-90.
He only 27 50, years
45,
old.
50-45-90.
27 wow. years old, doing all this.
Like his game is it's not like Kobe where it's athleticism. He's out jumping people and all. His that stroke isn't going away.
Right. He's skillful.
He can do this till he's 40.
He's skillful. Listen to this. He's 25th all-time in his career on the 3-point field goal list, right? 25th. With he got 1,479 made 3-pointers already, right? Listen, top 10 of this list. Number 10, Joe Johnson. Number 9, Chauncey Billups. Big shot, Mr. Big Shot.
These are field goal percentage or 3-pointers made
all time. Chauncey Billups, he got 1,830. Kyle Korver at 8. Jamal Crawford at number 7. This might come as a surprise for you. Number 6 all time. Vince Carter, number 5 all-time. Jason Kidd, 1,988. Number 4 all-time, The Truth, Paul Pizzi.
Longevity.
Number 3, Jason the Jet Terry.
Okay.
And then number 2 is Reggie, and number 1 is Ray Allen. Steph Curry going to pass all these guys. He already has 1,400.
Steph just broke 2 records the other day against Oklahoma City. You know what those records were? Most consecutive 3-pointers made in the game broke Kyle Korver's record of 128. Steph set a new record with that. He tied the 3-pointers in the game with 12 3-pointers, and he also broke his own record for most 3-pointers made in the season with still 24 games left after that game on Saturday.
The kid is amazing. The Big O, like I said, I don't know if the Big O was really criticizing Curry, but I think he was criticizing the way the game is played today.
Big O sounded like the old man in my neighborhood to get off my grass, man, because we playing football.
I don't see him as hating on Curry. All he was saying is that Curry's success has to do a lot with the way the game is played because the physicalness the physicality of the game is.
He talked about the coaches. He said they don't know how to coach. Are you kidding me? That's a slap in the face. That's an insult, man. The guys, Steph Curry is more athletic and got ball, better ball handling skills than anybody that played along that time. They couldn't guard Steph. They were slow. I was listening today on Mike and Mike, and Walt Clyde Frazier was on there. He was like, today's game are bigger, stronger, and faster. Our lineup was 6'5", and Willis Reed was our center at 6'8", at best. We couldn't compete with this day and game, this day and age.
Do you think it's hard for the Big O to see it through the lens of a guy who was just mediocre since he was such a big star in his time? So maybe it's just a little bit harder for him to adjust to.
You know how it is, the old school, just like the old school way. Same thing in football. You know, they like, you know, the dap. They don't like that, the dap from the quarterback. They want Cam to be more traditional, hand the ball to the referee when you score. They don't, you know, the quarterback, they want it to be a certain kind of way. And that's the same thing they're trying to do.
But it's just not the Big O. Steven Jackson, Captain Jack, he said his 06-07 Warriors team, that's the team with Baron Davis, Monte Ellis, Captain Jack, Jay Rich, Troy Murphy, Matt Barnes, Al Harrington. You know that team that beat Dallas as an eighth seed in the first round as a one seed. Dallas was the one seed. He said that team could beat this Warriors team.
How many rings did that team win?
Exactly.
Okay.
That team went.
They lost to Utah in the second round. And the next round, man. They had a good team, young, scrappy team, 42-40. We got 50-something wins already, man. Knock it off, Stack Jack. You my man. You've been a client and a friend for a long time.
Get out of here with that.
Y'all, knock it off.
You guys can't be. And then, out of all people, Cedric Ceballos said the 93-94 Suns can beat this.
Mr. No getting plays ran from Mr. Cedric Ceballos, who had game. Don't get me wrong. He was a slasher. He was the glue. He was a glue guy. I like said game, but y'all wouldn't have beat the Warriors, man. Stop.
Yeah, I agree with you. They would not have beat the Warriors. That Suns team, I don't think they were athletic enough.
Tell me some teams that actually won the championship to say they could beat the Warriors, man. Don't give me a team that just made the playoffs and might have run a round or two, saying they can beat this all-time, possibly regular season, all-time great team, man. They're going to have at least 70 wins. Where they get to 72 is still yet to be seen, but I really feel they're going to do it.
Okay, see, Warriors game just close out. Golden State, 121. Oklahoma City, 106. Golden State close out fourth quarter on a 39-23 win.
Wow.
KD, 32. Steph Curry, 33 points. Anthony Roberson, 11 rebounds. What do you do if you OKC? You can't beat Golden State.
What you're going to do is hope you can re-sign Kevin Durant this summer and make another run at it, because they're already ascribing the Golden State Warriors repeat champs in my book already on the trophy. It's a matter of how many games they're going to lose in the playoffs as they can go undefeated in the playoffs. That's the only thing that haven't been done. The Lakers was the closest with one loss against the Sixers in 2000-2001 on the famous Allen Iverson step over Tyronn Lue bucket. Game one of the finals that year. That was the only Laker loss that year in the finals.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
I remember. That show
16-1.
So what do you think about the Cleveland Cavaliers, man? They seem to be going on a little slump this time of year. Good time or bad timing?
I just think Cleveland's still trying to get it together. They still got plenty of time to get it together. You don't want to be your best right now. You want to be your best in April. And I think Cleveland's going to be just fine. They're going to get it all together. They just implemented, you know, Tyronn Lue, maybe 10 or 12, 13, maybe 15 games in under the job. So they still adjusting. And I think they're going to be fine. They'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals against the tough Raptors, who I think you want to talk about. Them Raptors tough, man. Kyle and DeRozan is doing it, man. They had 32-31 respectively last night in the win for the Raptors. Looking real good. Going to be a tough out for Cleveland. I think they'll give the Warriors a better match in the finals if it was the Warriors to make it to the finals. I think the Raptors give them a better matchup based on the guard play.
Raptors versus Warriors. Now, let's see. Are the Raptors for real? I don't know, man. It seemed like they for real. It appears like they for real. They 40-19.
Number two seed, only two games behind the Cavaliers. They big time for real. It's going to be interesting. Well, They normally kind of stumble in the playoffs. We'll see if they can take it to another level this year in the playoffs. We'll see. They got swept by the Wizards last year.
DeMar DeRozan, 23 points per game. Kyle Lowry, 21.6 points per game.
It's your all-star backcourt. You know how the backcourt can be. This your Splash Brothers north of the border.
6 assists, Kyle Lowry. We got 22-6 at home, the Toronto Raptors. 17-13 on the road. You think they can catch Cleveland? I think if they catch Cleveland, it might be an interesting Eastern Conference Finals if they can make it.
I mean, they're going to be the one. I don't think Cleveland need home court against the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals to win. So I still think Cleveland is going to go on to the finals. But I think those will be the last two standing in the East.
I think if Cleveland faces this team in a game 7, they better sweep the Warriors when they meet in the finals. Because I don't trust Cleveland winning 2 game 7s on the road in 1 playoff series or 1 playoff year.
They definitely going to have to win a game 7 on the road in the finals if they're going to win the championship.
Exactly. I don't trust them winning 2 of them, 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals and 1 in the finals. I do not trust that. This Toronto team is very interesting just on the simple fact if they get home court advantage, I think it really matters to them more than it would matter to the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, so.
You think the Raptors need home court more than Cleveland?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely, because they're 17-13 on the road. You know, they're 19-Toronto is 19-11 versus playoff teams this year. They're 19-11. So I like all their stats. Terrence Ross, he's having a good year. He's averaging about 13 a game. He's playing well off the bench. I like that. Damari Carroll, 11 points a game. He's
been a disappointment. He's been hurt.
He's been hurt. So
he hasn't made the impact I thought he was going to make, but it's still early.
It's still early. He's only played 23 games.
Yeah, it's still early. He's still running in the shape for the playoffs.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got to see, man. This kid, Corey Joseph, he's playing well for them, the point guard, backup point guard. We just got to see because it seemed like Cleveland owns Toronto, even though Toronto beat them twice this year. But, you know, Kyle Lowry hit a big shot just the last
Kyle
week.
Kyle Lowry had 43. So he hit more than a big shot.
He hit that big shot at the end.
He definitely hit the big shot, but he hit a lot of them.
I don't know. You think this team is for real?
I mean, 40-19 and the Cavaliers 42-17. They just as real as the Cavs.
That's what I'm saying. They stats and records say that.
Numbers don't lie. People do.
I guess they for real then. So are they a real threat to beat Cleveland?
No, not in my opinion. I think it'll be a good series. I think they'll be close games, but I think the Cavs will be a little too much for them.
So who's a threat to beat Cleveland? Is it going to be Miami with the addition of Joe Johnson?
The Celtics. I definitely like the Heat with Joe Johnson. I think it's going to be 4-5 Miami, Washington. I think Washington going to make a move. They right now are half a game out of the eighth slot, the Wizards, but they're getting healthy.
You think Washington's going to make a move here?
Washington's going to make a move. They're only 2 games out of the fifth seed, and they're half a game out of the eighth seed. So Washington Wizards, look out. They're starting to get healthy, so come the end of April playoff time, look out in the first round for the Wizards to upset somebody.
Let's talk about Joe Johnson for a second. He just signed a deal, Miami Heat, 1-year deal. Looks like it's worth about, I think the base minimum, $414,000. They just formated. 34 years old, 14-year-old vet. Hasn't really, you know, shaped up to what a lot of people anticipated he would be. What do you think about Joe Johnson to the Miami Heat?
I love it. I wish he would have went to the Cavs, but it's hard to pass up South Beach, you know, with the Heat. You're going to make the playoffs. You might make a deep run in the playoffs, and you're in Miami, and you already got $100 million in the bank. I'm going to South Beach, too. I'm not going to Ohio in March. I'd rather be in South Beach.
I heard that.
Then Pat Riley can open up the checkbook and get Joe another contract this summer.
I heard that. Miami, 35-26 currently. In the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference.
Probably stay there, solid home court advantage first round. They may catch the Celtics, they may not, but I think the Heat is locked in 4. And I still like the Wizards to creep up to that 5th slot.
Joe Johnson played 2 games in Miami so far. Miami has jumped from 96 points per game to 113 points per game. But that's two games, so you really can't put too much stock in that. But let's just talk about Joe Johnson, man. I always thought Joe Johnson was just, I don't know, a check collector.
I think Joe Johnson just has been on mediocre teams. He has been in the right place at the right time to keep getting them checks. You know, he's like a 7 or 8-time All-Star.
So he's been collecting checks. Let me break some down to you. Okay. He left Atlanta, what, 2012-2013 season. All right. Went to Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn just opened up their doors that year. Him and D-Will. They were supposed to be like this great little backcourt. No, that was before Garnett and Paul got there. Right. That was it. But, you know, Brooklyn paid $21 million. For Joe Johnson, right? This is what they got the first year Joe Johnson was a Brooklyn. $21 million, okay? This is what they got. You got 16 points per game. You got 3 assists a game. You got 3 rebounds a game. No steals. 2 free throw attempts a game. $21 million player?
Not by those numbers.
He played 72 games, 36 minutes per game. Shot about 42%, about 6 threes a game. He attempted 6 threes a game, 37% on 3-point percentage. That was 2012, right? $21 million. 2013 season, the next year, right? He went down 15 points a game. The year after that, 2014, went down 14 points a game. And this year, went down even more, 12 points a game.
He lost interest in like right after Paul Pierce left, no playoff run. It's over. When Jason Kidd left, it was over.
I mean, how can you? Don't get me wrong. I think Miami got a good bargain.
The money is guaranteed once they sign him, but he didn't, you know.
I don't Miami understand how you deal. Could say
Brooklyn, not so much.
They got a great deal. Those stats equate to that money he got. That $414,000 equates to that 12 point. I think he got paid right on the number.
Yeah, they just had to do a prorated veterans minimum contract when you do after a buyout like that, because he got the rest of his money, whatever they agreed to in Brooklyn. So he walked away with probably about 18 to 19 million of that 20 something he was going to get.
Man, Joe Johnson, he been getting cashed out. Now, do you think that pushes Miami into maybe an Eastern Conference Finals appearance?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they running small right now. They running.
That definitely get them out of the first round for sure.
Okay, because they going to be matched up against, I mean, if everything stayed the same, you saying Washington going to get the fifth spot, right?
Yeah, the 4 or 5 seed to end up against the
Miami and Washington is first round.
We end up playing the winner, the Cleveland or Toronto, whoever wants
right.
to.
So then,
and then the 3-6 to play the 2-7.
Okay. I like that.
1-8, 5-4, 2-7, 3-6 matchup in the second round.
Okay. So you saying Miami will get Cleveland?
It all depends.
If
Cleveland may be the 2 seed. So they may get the
3-6. That's the thing. Cleveland may be the 2 seed.
Yeah. And if they're the 2 seed, they'll see them in the, potentially see them in the Eastern Conference Finals. They get past the Raptors. I like the Raptors. My final 4 teams, I like the Raptors, the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Heat. It's my final 4 in the East. I don't know what matchup going to be, what matchup in that to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think those are the 4 standing after round 1 of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
So you saying we'll see a Boston-Toronto series and maybe a Cleveland or vice versa?
Those are going to be the 4 teams.
If you're Cleveland, who do you want to play? You don't want to play.
You're going to have to play them all regardless.
You probably want to play Boston.
You don't want to play Boston.
I don't think you want to play Toronto. I think you want to.
I don't think you want to play Miami.
No. The reason why you want to play Boston is because Boston has no stars on their team, so they won't get any fouls.
Neither did the 2004 Pistons. They had a bunch of good players just like Boston.
Nah, but
you got Bradley over there, Avery Bradley, and you got an all-star in Isaiah Thomas, and you got a lot of good players over there.
The Detroit team had more marquee players.
They had no chance to win that series on paper.
They had marketable players. Nah, she was marketable before that.
they turned into marketable players. You had, she was on his third team in 3 years when he came to the Pistons.
But people knew who he was.
Of course. So they knew who everybody was. But they wasn't stars where they was at. Chauncey Billups was the number two pick in the draft and was a journeyman. He was a throw-in.
Always been a Chauncey Ended Billups fan. Detroit. So
ever since he was in high school in Colorado, I was a Chauncey fan. But he didn't go to the right. Patino drafted him and didn't work out, and he kind of bounced around.
He did well in Denver.
You know, but in 2004, no way you told me they was going to beat the dream team the Lakers had. No way.
Oh, my God. I didn't.
No way.
I didn't like that team at all.
It wasn't a good mixture.
It was a dead mix.
It was a lot of talent, but not a good
dead
mix.
Dead mix. They couldn't. It take time. I guess it take a lot of time to understand the whole dynamic of the triangle. I don't think you can learn it just on the fly. You got to be in it for a couple of years to actually get it so where you don't have to think.
If Kobe would have toned his game, became a team player just a little bit, and they wouldn't have misdiagnosed Karl Malone injury, they don't talk about it, but that Laker team was 18-2 when Karl Malone got hurt that year. It was 18-2 before Karl Malone got hurt. It was rolling. Kobe had the Colorado issue going on. He had a lot going on that year. Pistons wasn't so they weren't favorites to win it all. Not even a little bit.
Russ, let's take a look at some of the Western Conference potential matchups for the playoffs. We got, of course, Golden State number one and San Antonio number two. Now, what's interesting to me is I think Portland.
The final four is going to be the final four. Los Angeles Clippers, OKC, San Antonio, Golden State.
Right. I think Portland going to creep up to the fifth spot, though.
But they're not going to beat the Clippers in the first round. So it's going to be Golden State, Clippers, San Antonio, OKC, in the Western Conference semifinals.
Nope, I disagree because I think Houston is going to
beat the Warriors in the 8-1 seed.
Nope,
no.
I think Houston is going to get the 7th seed.
And San Antonio?
And I think they're going to beat San Antonio.
Wow.
In the first round. Yep, because it's going to be a huge athletic problem. Like, a lot of people looking at the Clippers, but I'm looking at Houston because I understand the dynamic of how their team play. They play when they want to play.
Do they understand the dynamic of their team? That's the problem.
I think they do. They play when they want to play. And when the big stage happens and the lights are turned on, James Harden, them boys come to play. And that's just how they are. They NBA player. They love the NBA lifestyle. That's what they do. And I've seen them beat San Antonio on Christmas Day on the big stage. San Antonio just recently got their revenge, but I seen Houston really play. So that's a bad matchup for San Antonio.
San Antonio is 29-0 at home. Game 7 in San Antonio, they win.
I don't even think it's going to go game 7.
I cannot wait for the playoffs to start because I want you to stick to that pick if Houston and San Antonio match up in the playoffs.
All I'm saying is this.
Remember this, listeners.
All I'm saying
is
this.
It is March 3rd.
Don't want to see the
2016.
That's all I'm saying. First of all, Portland's going to catch Dallas and Memphis. Dallas is 33-29.
Why are you really worried about those teams? They're not going to beat the teams they got to play in the first round.
Because we already know the winner. So we got to talk about something else.
We don't got to talk about Portland, Dallas.
Yeah, we do.
Memphis.
We can't just only talk about the Warriors because then everybody know the Warriors
San Antonio is
going to
be the Warriors, San Antonio. The Clippers or the Thunder would be your Western Conference.
And you said
Western
the Thunder. The Thunder, I don't think the Thunder at all because they are terrible against playoff teams. Terrible. So I think OKC is going to slump down a little bit.
They're going to go no lower than the fourth seed. So it's either going to be 3-4.
I think they're going to get down to 4.
I don't know what Houston team you're watching. They're going to beat the Spurs, but okay.
Just mark my words.
Definitely mark your words. I done marked it down, put a stamp on it, all that.
If Houston meets San Antonio in the first round, it's going to be a harder series than Popovich wants.
That is not the same as winning the series. I just said San Antonio in 7. You said it ain't going to go to 7. Houston is going to win, so you can't say they just going to give them a series.
Houston going to win 4-2. It's going to shock the world.
Definitely be shocking the world.
And I'm not even a Houston Rockets fan, but it's going to shock the world.
When you mention James Harden, we can hear crickets squeak. Squealing to give James Harden props. You do not like James Harden for you to pick them to upset the Spurs. I am really shocked.
That's how much of pretenders I think the Spurs are this year.
52-9 are pretenders. 29-0 at home, 23-9 on the road, 10-2 against the division, 31-5 against the Western Conference.
I understand all that. They have great stats.
Their point differential in the game is tops in the league above the Warriors at 12.5 to the Warriors 11.2 differential points per game. Warriors are 55-9, and the San Antonio are going to win 70 games too. We're going to have two teams with 70
I think
wins.
San Antonio is the old team on the block that beat you with their smartness and their wittiness.
You don't think that's going to be a factor in the playoffs, their wittiness and they that smarts? When the game slows down, it's not as many possessions. You don't think that's to their advantage? 19 straight years in the playoffs.
Last year, but I think this is a different San Antonio team. I think this team is a fraud. I don't think this team is good as what we see on paper.
52-9.
That's just, I'm telling you, I think a more athletic, skilled team can beat this team. I do. I don't think this San Antonio team has the athleticism to match up with some of these teams that's going to be in the playoffs this year.
We can agree to disagree on this one, R-Dot, because ain't no way I can say that the Spurs is old and all. It's just, they've been doing it, man. Pop is a great coach, man. He got them boys believing and playing. And I think they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals when it all said and done against those Warriors.
But let me ask you this, man. What's so great about LaMarcus Aldridge?
Consistency to me, man. He got that mid-range. He's got, you know, a good touch. I like his game, man. Young guard on the low block. He reminds me of Rasheed.
What's the difference between him and Al Horford?
I think LaMarcus is probably a couple inches taller than Al. I like his game a little better. Al going to get the LaMarcus money this summer, so it ain't going to be no difference in their game. He's just timing. The only difference now is their contract because he's a year younger. He's a couple years younger.
There ain't nothing special about LaMarcus Aldridge to me. Okay, and who else they got? David West? He's at the end. I don't know, man. This team, to me, going to run out of gas. This team seemed like the old dudes on the court that's just waiting to take an ass whooping from a young team.
They play the game. If you play that, you get into the Spurs game, that slow it down basketball, what they're going to make you do in the playoffs, you're going to lose. They're going to limit the possessions. They don't make a lot of mistakes. And if you make them a lot of mistakes, they make you pay for it. It's the same shit over and over. How can you deny the Spurs have been doing the same thing most of your 20s? All your 20s,
they gonna have the Spurs
have been doing the same thing, man. They've been doing it for 19 years.
I think Tony Parker going to have the gas this year to do it. I just don't think they're going to have the gas.
What's showing you that they won't have the gas? They got it every night. They bringing it every night.
52-9.
But they're playing limited minutes, man. They got a young team. They got three old players. And Kawhi is Kawhi's team. Duncan is anchoring in the middle. Popovich is a genius.
I don't think it's going to work this year. I think they're going to get upset. And I'm going to be right there collecting.
Stay tuned. You definitely will, because you can have my money, because I'm betting. I'm all day with the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals.
Man, but it's going to be
OKC,
it's going to be
OKC
an upset.
Can beat them. OKC in the second round against the Spurs, I can see them winning that series.
If Houston sees San Antonio in the first round, Popovich is going to be a little worried, and he's going to be a little hard-pressed because they're going to have a harder first round than what he would want. Like, if they play Portland in the first round, they would crush Portland just because of the inexperience. But Houston know they can beat San Antonio. They have. So I think it's just going to be a little tougher than what he would anticipate or what he would want. That's all. That's all. The East has the lower tier teams like 5 through 8. The East kind of elevated their level of play. You know, there's a lot of teams over 500 in the East this year.
I think it's well balanced now. I think all playoff teams will be 500 in both conferences now.
I agree. It's not just like the Western Conference running away with it. The East has stepped up a lot. If you think about it, look at Detroit. They're 31-30. Indiana's 32-29. Charlotte, 32-28. No one talks about Charlotte, but they're 32-28. Kemba Walker's doing a great job down there. What's the
Al Jefferson.
Al Jefferson. He's doing a great job down there. I even think Nicholas Batum, he fits down there. He's fitting well. So we'll see, man. The playoffs is going to be interesting. All right, so Fresh, run down the West for me. Who you got again? 1 through 8?
I think Golden State gonna remain one. I like the Spurs to remain two. I think the Thunder Clippers may flip-flop, but I would like to see it stay the same because I think Oklahoma City would beat the Spurs in the Western Conference semifinals. I think it's going to be OKC, Golden State, in the Western Conference finals. If we get the matchup that I want with the Spurs, OKC in the second round. But I think Lillard, the Portland Trailblazers, have been a big surprise. And I think they're going to test somebody in the first round. I think if they play the Spurs or the Warriors, they're going to take them at least six games, and they're going to be very competitive.
Sound like that's the way it's supposed to go. I like the same thing you like. I like Golden State at one, Spurs at two. No one's catching them two. I like, actually, the Clippers at three, Oklahoma City at four. And I like Portland to catch Memphis at five. And then I like Memphis at six. And I like Houston at seven. And I think Dallas going to drop to eight when it's all said and done.
You got Houston upsetting the Spurs in round one.
I got Houston upsetting the Spurs in round one. I got OKC playing Portland and getting them. Golden State's going to mop up Dallas.
I think it's a foregone conclusion that the top four seeds, however they finish out, will be the teams meeting in the conference semifinals in the second round, in my opinion.
I agree, too. I think Golden State going to win it all, so it don't really matter about anything else before that, really. I mean, hopefully the NBA can do anything to make the playoffs interesting. I don't know what they're going to do.
I think it's going to be exciting playoffs. I just think nobody's going to beat Golden State at the end of the day. I think all the series are going to be intriguing, very interesting, a lot of 6- and 7-game series. But I just don't think nobody's going to beat Golden State 4 out of 7.
I agree. No one's going to beat Golden State. Well, Fresh, we need to get up out of here. But first, we need to talk about
what did we learn? We learned that LeBron James was the Eastern Conference Player of the Month for the month of February. And Steph the Chef Curry was the Western Conference MVP.
They both had spectacular months. Spectacular.
Steph averaged over 35 a game, shooting over 55% from the field and over 60% from three-point range. Unfreaking believable. Good job to Steph the Chef Curry and the King, LeBron James, on being Eastern and Western Conference Players of the Week. What else did we learn, R-Dot?
We learned about Carmelo Anthony's sense of humor when he told the fan, hey, you want your money back? I'm paraphrasing. Hey, if you want your money back, there's the owner right there asking for it. I thought it was funny. That was a great joke. What you think about it?
That was hilarious, Carmelo. Don't tell me you want your money back. Tell the owner he's sitting right there. I'd have said the same shit. We also learned that when LeBron has free time, he liked to go hang out in South Beach. And it was a big old uproar, and he was at the gym with Dwayne Wade. Cleveland fans are worried that he's going to leave again. LeBron had a couple days off. You got access to a private jet and a lot of money. You want to be in Ohio or Miami on your off days, and you can get down there in an hour and a half. I'm going to South Beach.
I'm going to South Beach all day. Cleveland better be lucky I ain't LeBron. I'll still be in South Beach.
What else did we learn, R-Dot? Did we learn anything else? Because I got one more thing I learned. I learned that Oklahoma City Thunder cannot close. You see the debacle the other night against the Clippers and that terrible shot, Westbrook shot. We didn't get to talk too much about that, what happened with the Thunder. But that was absolutely ridiculous, a meltdown. They choked for the second game in a row. Not the second game in a row, the second time in a week. They did it against the Warriors on Saturday and a repeat performance on Wednesday in Los Angeles. Fourth quarter leads blown. Not a good look. And that's what we learned.
We also learned that one of the reasons why Andrew Wiggins got traded is because he didn't want to sign to LeBron James's management company. What?
Wow. Business is business. Get out of here. Go to Minnesota then, clown.
Man, LeBron James is like the Monopoly man. You know him, the one with the hat.
It ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. LeBron done changed things. It's a new sheriff's town.
It's a new sheriff in this town.
And his name is King James.
Man, Fresh, let's get up out of here, man. Do your thing.
Man, R-Dot, I'm going to have to do something the devil don't do. Leave you alone. Till next time. Peace.